We will get right into it. How are you? What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on.
That doesn't sound good.
No, right before I walked over to my computer to come meet you to do this, mm-hmm. I flipped on that old Peacock just to see how many episodes of Queer as Folk were released today. I anticipated like maybe two episodes. They dropped the full fucking season.
Oh, wow.
Like, I guess I have like a long weekend ahead of me.
Do they do that still? They did that for Stranger Things, right? Didn't they?
I don't watch Stranger Things, but also this is Peacock, not Net. I was shocked that the whole thing is out.
Shout out Johnny Sibley. I'll be watching that.
And Ryan O'Connell, who is acting at first. He was hired as a writer, and then they're like, you know what? We want you to be in it also. So, and I actually, because I was so taken aback, there were so many episodes out, I couldn't help myself. I'm like, I just want to like get the vibe, because I know they filmed the whole thing in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And so I literally watched, I only had time to watch like the first 4 minutes, and you get more New Orleans vibe in the first literally 30 seconds than you do in all of Real World Homecoming New Orleans.
Yeah, because they're in the house.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that too.
Yeah. I could do 4 hours on it. And I have.
Yeah. Everyone, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B.
I'm Jess.
Jess Rothschild is here.
Hot takes and deep dives. Like, check it out.
This is your fourth time.
It can't possibly only be my fourth time. I feel like that's not like mathematically possible.
The podcast is Hot Takes Deep Dives. Great podcast. Not specifically Bravo. Bravo friendly, right? But like,
I would say it's Bravo adjacent.
Adjacent, right?
But it like doesn't. This. Yeah.
You know, y'all know me. I dip in and out. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tiring.
It's also not good.
Oh my God. You're starting early. Wow.
Listen, if something is great, something's great. You know me. I go all in. Real World Homecoming was great. I dedicated 3 entire episodes to it. I did interviews with cast. I did like roundtable discussion. Same thing. And even if something isn't great, so long as it's piquing my interest, like, and just like that, right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't exactly like high cinema, but it certainly gave me something to chew on. For a bunch of episodes.
My friend was talking about it. Real quick, we'll just talk about it. I think, let me look it up really as we're here. Earlier, my friend was saying that Samantha Jones is supposed to return to the series, but not in the way that we think.
Kim Cattrall is not.
There's no way. She's a little annoying at this point. She's really doing too fucking much. It's like,
who?
Kim Cattrall.
Oh, you can't say that.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I can't say that. She's just doing a lot. Like, she's like coming for stairs. It's like Sarah Jessica Parker is just minding her business. And
you're right.
But it's
I don't know that I would go on record saying Kim Cattrall is doing too much. That's kind of like if we were to come on here and critique the Fire Island movie. We're going straight to gay jail. Do not pass go. No one is allowed to critique the Fire Island movie.
Because I feel like I've seen a lot of gays doing it. But I guess everyone's trying to just be happy because it's like.
I would love to get into the Fire Island movie with you. You're the director here. You tell me when it's time to enter that portion of the conversation.
Okay, so people just announced, or I guess broke, that while speaking to Variety in an interview published Tuesday, Michael Patrick King, everyone knows he's the showrunner of the Sex and the City revival, he shared a few details about it, and he said that Samantha Jones will be featured. There's going to be a storyline featuring Samantha, but he didn't specify like what that meant. Kim Cattrall's not coming back.
Did you watch In Just Like That?
Of course.
We talked about
one of the worst shows on television, but I'm obsessed. It's going to be season 2 is going to be fucking awful, and I'm going to watch every minute of it.
Can I say something? I think it was the cover of, was it Variety or Vanity Fair? I don't remember which publication it was. Whichever one did the Yep, I'm Che cover with Sada Ramirez for Pride. You're saying, oh God. However, the art direction of her sort of in the clown costume,
isn't it them?
I'm sorry. Yes. All right. I'm sorry.
Maybe we'll both be canceled this episode.
I can't wait.
I get canceled for my Kim Cattrall takes and you.
I can't wait. But anyway, I just want to say that that cover shoot was like brilliantly executed. Like those I just want to say the photos were gorgeous. Like the way they dressed Sada up, like in full clown makeup. It looked really good.
Looked like a real clown.
Yeah.
Act like one too.
Yeah.
Can't
comedy, comedy concerts.
Yeah.
No, but they're doubling down. It sounds like they're doubling down on Che.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I cannot believe.
Because she's really polarizing character. I can actually, because it's like, you know.
It gave people something to talk
something
about.
Something to talk about.
Imagine Che wasn't there. We'd be talking about absolutely nothing.
I've never seen someone who likes weed that much. It's very fucking weird. I have not since my freshman year of fucking in my dorm. You know, like I met a couple of like people that were just like obsessed with weed as much as Che is. And it's fucking weird. Okay. I'm sorry for you guys that smoke weed, which is probably everybody, but it's fucking weird. It's weird. Not weed in general, but just like your personality, Che's personality is smoking weed.
Nobody talks about it that much. Or like I did a bunch of weed.
Like, did a bunch of weed. Like that's fucking
weird.
That's
not even grammatically correct.
Narc. Yeah.
Like who speaks anyway? We can't.
Hello, fellow teens. It's very that. It's giving Steve Buscemi whatever fucking movie that was. Let's get off Shay.
I'd love
Pride
to.
Month.
Yes. Welcome.
Yeah. Day 9.
I want to know how your Fire Island trip was.
Really fun. This Pride Month is really exhausting, but honestly, this trip to Fire Island, I just got back, everybody. It was like a week ago now. I was there for a week. Listen, totally chill. Great group. Immaculate vibes. Everyone is behaving. On the island, I think it's when I get older, it's just like you do it differently.
Totally. That's the thing.
I used to go and like everyone would like blow their load the first night, maybe literally, but like figuratively, people would just be like, we're here, we're going to drink, we're going to do this. And it's like, calm down. It's a marathon, not a race.
It really, and also,
or not a sprint.
And also, it really is the experience that you want it to be. Like you don't have to be like a super partier to enjoy it. Like there, and
choose your own adventure.
And I want to say that there, I do drink, but not a lot. And I have friends who are sober and they are in share houses. So like there's a thriving like sober community out there. Like don't feel that you have to kind of shy away from the experience just because that's not your vibe. Because you know what? That's not my, like, I don't like staying out super late and like, I don't drink till all hours of the morning. Like that's not my thing, but I absolutely love it there. Both the Pines and Cherry Grove.
Oh no, I don't like staying up late and drinking too, but I don't like doing it, but I will.
But you will, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's it was pretty tame actually. And it was a really fun time. So the vibes were good. It was a really fun trip. I think it was my favorite trip that I've ever had there. So
have you ever considered doing a share house?
No, I don't like it that much. I don't, if you're going to spend that much for me, but I get why people do it. But I feel like if I'm going to spend that much money, I would just go somewhere else, you know, culture.
Well, you could do like a week in Paris for.
Yeah.
Do we know roughly how much it is? I guess it depends how many people are in the house, how many bedrooms, but like roughly how much would it be for like a quarter share?
Oh, I don't even know. I feel like I used to know, but I don't know.
Like, are we talking 10 grand for the summer?
I feel like 10 grand. I feel like it's probably that.
I'm imagining 2 grand per week. And typically shares are like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. So that would easily, but you probably get a bit of a discount. So maybe it's like around 9. You know, that's the whole point of doing the share, right? You get a little bit of island looked great, looked the same. Everyone was behaved. It's great. Didn't go to the underwear party, didn't do anything like that. My body's not underwear ready, but
are you kidding me? Your body is under. I've seen your body. I mean, we haven't slept together yet, but I've seen your body.
I put it on the Instagram enough.
Your
ate a lot of Ruffles.
Your body is underwear. Are you kidding me?
Not like those people. So it's, listen, I sound like ridiculous, but
you
no,
have
I'm
imposter
not like,
syndrome.
I do. But you know what? I was tweeted the other day and I stand by this. Imposter syndrome isn't always made up. Some of you bitches are just really bad at what you do.
You're an asshole.
I really am. But you know, someone at home is listening to this right now. They're like, oof, oh shit. Wow.
Have you been to the, have you gone to the D World underwear party in the past?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And as is it, so I haven't been to that, but I
wrote about it actually. If you guys Google, if you look up my name, I think if you look up Pet Shop Boy, Underwear Party, Vice Magazine, I wrote a short story about the underwear party.
No kidding.
I should try to find it. I did.
Oh, I definitely. And what is the essence? I'm going to find it.
I'm looking at it right now.
Share the essence of what you wrote.
So many years ago, when the show Fire Island, that, remember that?
Of course.
Vice Magazine contacted a lot of different gays and to write actual real stories about Fire Island to kind of when that show premiered.
Smart.
So it was like a lot of artists and stuff like that. I think John Waters was one of the people. I don't know why I was included in this company of people, but hey, I'm happy to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think Frankie Sharp was another person. Shout out Frankie. Shout out John. John Waters.
John Waters is an icon. John is a goddamn icon. He is actually doing a thing in the Pines in July.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking this up. Hold on. I'm just making sure that it's like still somewhere on the internet. I don't see it. I'll have to find it for you guys. And you know what? If I find it, I'll put it back up on my story.
Yes. I
have to find it.
But give like the overall vibe of your experience and how does it map to the experience that they portray in the movie?
The movie. So that's one thing, right? It's like you want to watch movies like that because they're like familiar places that you've been, but I don't know. It's kind of like, I can't describe it. It's like, it's weird to see it on film. And it's like, these are kind of, I get what you're saying, but like everyone has a different take on different places. And honestly, it felt like a little bit like it was like, what's the word? Like mining your like memories. Like they're mining it for like a movie. And I'm like, you almost like don't want them to show it because you're like, no, that's my balcony where I've stood at before. You know what I mean? And like I've been to that, sat on that chair. And
that's really funny you say that, because I had a bunch of people over when the night the movie came out, and actually people who I've shared a share house with before, and we're going again in July. And one of my friends said that they're like, do you feel like, my friend was like, do you feel like they're showing, they're like, do you feel
much
like
of your,
they're showing too much. And I was like, too much what? They're like, too much of Fire Island. Like,
I literally, no. We're literally describing gatekeepers. We're gatekeeping.
I'm like, no. Oh, I mean, that's like the point, is to showcase the island. But I would love to hear your review of the movie.
I think like on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it like a 7.5. That's not bad. I give a lot of things 7.5, to be honest. You know, I thought it was a good movie. Will I ever watch it again? Probably not. But I think it was like a great rom-com. And you know what? My favorite part of it all was Bowen Yang. I thought was...
He was really
stupendous. Good, yeah. I thought he was really good.
I don't know that he had chemistry with his romantic part. They had, I didn't think anybody had chemistry.
I don't know that. Yeah, no, it's true.
Like the friends had chemistry, obviously, because they're all real life. Well, a lot of them are real life friends. Mm-hmm. I did not think that Joel-Kim Booster had like romantic chemistry with Conrad Rickamora. Like, I think individually they're very compelling to watch, but they didn't really have heat together. But I think I'm in the minority, because like a lot of people like are loving Conrad. I don't know. I can't really take the temperature on what
Conrad is. The one who plays William, right?
He's like the Mr. Darcy character. Okay. Yeah.
I thought he was perfectly cast.
Mm-hmm.
So hot.
Yeah. No, he was, and he actually, he's the best actor in the movie, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So true, yeah. Well, he's the most seasoned, right? What do you
say? He's been on How to Get Away with Murder since the beginning. He's a Shonda boy.
Someone was tweeting a shirtless photo of him from the movie, and they were like, I see all you fake bitches. You bitches weren't here when he was hacking computers for Annalise Keating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it was a good movie. I think everyone should see it. It's, I think Bowen Yang for me was like what kept me watching. But I think he is the heart of the movie. I don't even really think it's like, as a decoy, I feel like they kind of like make it look like it's really about Joel-Kim Booster, but it truly is about like Bowen, right? Yeah. When you say?
Yeah. I mean, it's really about both of them. I mean, I totally enjoyed it. Like I watched it twice because I'd because I had gotten like a screener like a month or so ago, and I like couldn't help myself. Like I had no like self-control. So mm-hmm. I watched it like on my computer and I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. Then you get in a room with people, and then you have people talking throughout half the movie. You have people, then it becomes like a group think mentality. So I think ultimately I loved it because that's how I felt when I was watching it alone.
I know I watched it alone, and I feel like maybe if I had seen it with a group of people, it would have been,
It will either enhance or like, or make it something different. But really my only critique of it is I wish that there had been more stakes. Like the movie really didn't have any stake, like as an actual like written piece. Mm-hmm. Who mm-hmm. can like, okay, the main stakes in the movie are Joel Kim Booster wants to get Bowen Yang laid. If he doesn't, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there were no romantic stakes. There were no friendship stakes. The only stakes was that Margaret Cho was going to lose the house, but that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
So there was just no, just as a piece of writing, they could have actually, you know what I would have done? Okay. If I, my one note would have been, well, like obviously like create some sort of stakes, but also I felt like when Matt Rogers' character, get, you know, the whole thing with like the filming gets out, the OnlyFans, mm-hmm. whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I felt like that.
I don't want to give too much away, but
all these people have seen it. All of your listeners have seen it. But skip over. Well, this is just my thought at this point, but I felt like that would have been a good opportunity. I mean, the guy was just like date raped basically because he had took too much G or whatever. I felt like that could have been a good opportunity, even if it was just a throwaway line to be like, I'm never doing party drugs again. Or like guys, we really have to be careful. Or
yeah,
like,
what did we learn from that? There was no takeaway. It was like, just like,
If your friend went missing, right? If your friend was missing
for 48 hours,
wouldn't you have like, in real life, wouldn't there have been like a major, but no, they just like kept on going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt like, okay, this is, there could have been very, a moment.
Very strange stuff. And like not a lot of build up with that Matt story too, because it's like, why do I care about this character? And he just kind of moved in and out of the scene. And then they kind of made up. And then he said, I'm always such a bitch to you. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't even know. I thought you were just a bitch to everybody. And I don't like, and you have
they didn't
not really been here.
That.
But yeah. I mean, you can only do so much, I guess, in an hour and a half movie, and any longer and that movie would have been too long. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, overall, like I really loved it. I wish we saw more Matt Rogers, even more of Tomas, you know, his like scene partner, the one who mm-hmm. they do the Marissa Tomei, more of them, maybe dialed back. I mean, even though I loved the other house, like the fancy house and all those like, you know, sort of the bad guy, I don't know what we're calling them, but like the other house, I enjoyed them as well. But I thought Nick Adams was amazing.
Which one's Nick Adams? Is he the one who plays
God knows his character. I couldn't keep the character's name straight. He's the guy who his body is like, he's like too attractive to even like look at. Like the body was like crazy. He was always wearing like designer outfits.
But he's a bad guy.
He's supposed to be a bad guy. I could not take my eyes off of him. He was like made out of armor, but
I could not care less about guys with like bodies like that. I just, that's not my thing. It's like, I mean, of course I'll like take it, you know, if you want to like put a gun to my head, but like, I like a guy, like usually like guys that like look like they maybe eat pie, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Looks like you like enjoy food. That's like, you know, just want comfort.
But overall two thumbs up on the movie.
I just like one and a half thumbs up.
I mean, I don't know. Just like the over glorification of, and I guess that's just the way it is.
The party drugs.
The party, like, just like, I don't know. Like, did we learn nothing? Like, maybe not.
But then again, there's other movies that where it's like rom-coms. I forget the name of it, but there's a Kirsten Dunst one that kind of is similar to Bridesmaids people love. I forget what it's called.
Happiest like, Season.
Or it's like a bachelorette party or something, but that involves like a lot of cocaine or something. And that's
With Kristen Stewart or Kirsten Dunst?
Kirsten Dunst, I think.
It's I don't know.
I think it was like a really raunchy kind of, I believe it's Kirsten Dunst. Guys, don't kill me. But it was like around the same time as Bridesmaids and they, you know.
Is this Girls Trip? Whatever. I think I'm bungling.
That's the all black thing.
Yeah. Forget it. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway. There were probably drugs in that too. I think didn't they like eat?
Yeah.
weed or something like that, or
probably.
Yeah. I'm sorry I judged you guys earlier for smoking weed. Don't hate me. I just think it's like very weird when it's like your personality, you know? I think like anything is like, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Are you going to go back out to Fire Island at all? You just do it once a summer, right?
I do like a couple times. I think I'm going again probably in August, and then I'm definitely going for Labor Day.
So oh, that's great.
Yeah. So
cool. For you're doing a full week?
Full week.
Great.
Can't do anything less. Stevie's basically blind at this point. I don't like to bring her back and forth. No, she loves it. She's I just took her to the vet the other day. They were like, she's so healthy. And I'm like, they're like, she's in the golden years of her life. She just loves being pampered and
cutie.
She knows where everything is. She gets to eat all day. She just hangs out in the backyard. She knows she's chilling.
Yeah.
What
else are you watching?
The real world.
Oh yeah. Oh, the real world. New Orleans
just ended. I just watched the last episode last night. I didn't realize it was going to end this soon.
Did you see what Kelly put on Instagram yesterday?
No, I don't follow her.
I don't follow her either, but you must go look at what she posted all these. It was a big slideshow of just like text. And then she wrote even more in the comments, basically saying that the reason she left the house was because Julie was legit terrorizing her, like screaming at her for like allegedly breaking the coffee machine. And she even wasn't even sleeping in the house. Toward the end, they put her up at a hotel.
Really?
Yeah. It was a lot worse. They didn't even, in the end, this was a totally fake show.
Yeah. No, I think I was with your
Nothing
interview with
was
Danny.
Real.
Danny dispelled a lot of stuff, right? He was like, especially with the meetup with his Paul and all of that. And I mean, that was obviously, but it sounds like a lot heavily produced.
Kelly's, the whole thing was overly produced. That was my issue with it. I mean, I loved it, but it was like,
it was still
the
best one that they've done so far though.
By far.
But I think
not a lick of it was true.
but I think it's just like, it's also because they've learned from the first two, because they get better and better each time.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do another one?
I don't know. I feel like this one had to have been really popular, though.
For sure. What I'm hearing is that it's really hard to get. It's surprisingly so, because I was like, oh my God, who would turn down this money? Because like they're making like about 200 for the season. You know, these people need the money, like I would assume. But apparently, like Colin from Hawaii basically got the whole cast. Like Hawaii is not happening because apparently Colin got he got a hold of everybody and was like, we're not doing this.
Wow.
I heard they're having trouble getting, I think there's an issue with Steven from
Seattle.
Seattle. Oh. But he's like in some legal trouble. I think that they're maybe they could get Miami. I could see them being able
Miami would be perfect chaos. Perfect
chaos. Those people would probably do it.
Flora, absolutely. I think she was recently on a podcast and just being fucking nuts as she always is. So I would love to catch up with those people. But I feel like Joe wouldn't do it. And
Joe from San Francisco?
No, Joe from Miami.
Shorty. I'm curious.
I loved New Orleans, though. I thought Melissa came off great. It was really her show.
Amazing.
And it was really smart to kind of like build it around her. She almost was the narrator, you know?
She was the season one Bethany Frankel.
Yeah.
Yes. But already with the glow up.
And her testimonials were just so good. She's like, everything was just so,
Yeah. I just released I did a whole kind of like psycho-spiritual analysis of this homecoming with my friend Jamie Stein, who is like an empath and an intuitive. And he actually worked on a bunch of seasons of The Real World back in the day. And so he was able to give a lot of like Buna Murray information. Like he worked on the Vegas season and a bunch of others. And so he had some like inside knowledge, but he's also got, you know, he can see things from sort of like a psychic little spiritual perspective. So anyone who watched The Real World Homecoming, I think you'd be interested in that. It seems to be resonating with a lot of people.
Loved the show. Disappointed that Kelly did not stay and didn't make it to the end. Sorry, guys, that's a spoiler alert. But disappointed in her. But overall, I thought it was just still really good.
You know,
Julie, literally one of the most. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Julie one of the most unhinged characters that you will ever see on your television screen. If you guys haven't watched Real World New Orleans, the reboot, you're really missing out. It is.
What was your take on the husband and that whole her trying to hook up with the husband in front of everybody? Like, what did you think of that? Ugh,
I think she's just like, again, she's, this is also the thing. Sex is like fun. It is not that cool. It's like weed. It's like, sex is her personality. Like, she never had it for so many years, and then now she finally did. So she's like, it's all she wants to talk about. It's all she needs to do. It's just like, it's very fucking,
but it's so strange because she's been married.
Oh, now I sound like I'm not sex positive. You know what? Never mind. Sorry, you guys. Do whatever you want to do. It's just fucking weird when you like don't have any fucking like boundaries with people, and you're like making it, people are not being willing participants in your fucking circus show.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Trying to hook up with her husband, who she's been married to for like 17 years. Like, nobody's that into their spouse that they've met, that they've been married to for nearly 20 years. But that's not how it works.
Kids or something, or like, oh no, Matt.
No, I think they have like three kids, like two or three.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is Kelly said, because the whole thing was shot out of order, she left before Paul's visit. You know how Paul's visit was like episode 3 or something?
Yeah.
That was literally in the last 5 days. They didn't secure Paul until the last 5 days of shooting. Kelly had already left. And she'd already left.
She sits down with him and talks to him about it.
No, right? You imagine that, because she left.
Oh, wow. That's maybe I'm just chronic.
And she wasn't on the swamp boat ride. She had left before that. You have to go to her Instagram and read the long caption and then swipe through the images.
Does she hate production? Is she coming at production?
She's not coming at production. She's just sort of telling her story.
Okay. Yeah.
Because in the end, she was, I think this weekend is like, there's some Critics' Choice Awards and the Real World is nominated. And she's like, I'm proudly going to stand there with my castmates. I think she's, and they all thanked everybody except for Julie.
Yeah. Which they really should be thanking Julie though, because like, honestly,
you should try to interview her.
She would be so unhinged. I don't think she would sit still. But I will. If you guys want me to, I will.
Yeah, you should do it. But the thing is, she wouldn't be honest about anything. She wouldn't take any ownership.
Oh, no.
She would lie, but you should still do it.
Which housewife do you think lies the most of any franchise?
That's a great question.
Like the biggest liar.
I really got to put my thinking cap on for that one. Give me a city to focus on.
Okay.
I guess maybe Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because she seems like she lies a lot. Like, just like a lot of shit she's been caught on. I was going to say if it's New York, I feel like it would be
Sonia,
but like more just because she like doesn't even know she's lying. She believes a lot of her lies at some point. But I think Jill Zarin could be up there too.
I don't think Jill Zarin lies.
No.
No.
I mean,
why do you say that?
I feel like she lied a lot about the Bethany stuff. Now I feel like really relitigating. I feel like, you know, when
I think that maybe she called
Bobby and she's like, I did call Bob.
I think she also forgets. She admittedly forgets a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think she like thinks she did something, but she actually didn't. So there's an element of like memory loss or something. But yeah, I would say like LVP.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a really good question, though.
Madonna movie. We're getting closer.
I'm happy with Julia Garner.
So Julia Garner, inventing Anna actress, has been offered the role.
But I only want her to do it using the Anna Delvey voice.
I've never actually really I've never seen the inventing Anna, but I know of it.
It has potential if she does it using the Anna Delvey.
Okay.
Russian German accent. Then it has potential.
So then the boot camp was dispersed.
Is this movie really going to get made though? Maybe if Julia Garner is attached, maybe it'll get made. It's going to be so bad.
Well, that's already set up for Universal Pictures. It's going to be made, and it's going to follow the early days of the oft controversial artist.
What would I title it? Blonde Ambition.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Or
of course.
That's the only one you really could, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect title.
What other shows are there? I wanted to talk to you about all of the Housewives stuff, but we're going to go over to the bonus episode to talk about all of the Housewives news. We're going to catch up on some Real Housewives of New York news. And I want to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because that's what you're watching. You aren't watching Real Housewives of Atlanta, right?
No, I don't watch Atlanta, mostly because every season people just say that it's terrible.
It is.
Like for the past like seven years, everyone's just like, it's terrible. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm missing nothing.
Well, last episode of this show, I was with Jonathan, shout out Jonathan Lawhorn. And yes, we were talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta and we were dragging it, but we were talking about it for 20 minutes and we were like, da 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 da. And after we had talked about everything, we were like, wait, this kind of hits actually. Like now that we were like describing everything that we were watching is like Drew and her husband and then da 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 da. And we were like, wait, actually this kind of slaps. Like actually watch the show. I think like when you're watching it, it's joyless. But then when you sit back and think about everything together that you just watched and the fact that Marlo is in the mix, it's like, this kind of slaps a bit. I must say it's a little bit iconic.
I'm watching Beverly Hills. I'm excited for the girls' trip in the Berkshires. Although I'm a little concerned that at this point,
season 3 is already cast.
I know. Can you say anything?
I can't say anything. I want to so bad.
Okay.
I wanted to.
All right. We'll discuss it. We have to discuss it.
You know what? I'll give a little on the B side. I'll give like a little bit on the B side, but I can't say much because I don't want to like.
Okay. Do you know the specific women who've been cast or do you just know the theme?
I know some.
Okay. All right. Then we have something to talk about. Okay, good.
But what I was going to say, one more thing, guys, Real Housewives of Atlanta, because I want to get it out of the way now so we can talk about the good shows on the B side. But at Real Housewives of Atlanta, someone brought up last night a really good point, because you don't follow the show, but do you know who Drew is?
And of course. Okay. Yes.
Someone brought up a really fucking good point last night. They are lying. They're faking their entire storyline.
Yes, I know that. Yeah.
It's giving Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. They are on there fucking pretending that he went to Florida, because no woman in her right mind is going to be like, yeah, we'll just let it go. Like, why have we not figured out why Ralph went to Florida for 2 days and didn't call, turned off his phone? Bullshit. Any person in their right mind would whoop his ass.
Yeah, and that it's so funny. You don't even have to. It's what's funny is I don't even watch the show, but still that I know that.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way Housewives is. You don't even have to watch it, but like somehow the news kind of permeates you.
I thought you were saying that's how Housewives is in terms of faking storylines, because I think that they're the fakest storyline I've ever seen. Now that I'm like thinking about all the details of it, I'm like, this is all because you guys need a job and you need to remain on the show. And I don't think that typically people get away with faking that stuff. But this is just so outlandish and just so like everything about her.
Did you watch the first two episodes of Dubai?
I'm still going to watch, by the way. Real Housewives of Dubai, I've seen the first episode.
And what do you think?
It was okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like
throw it on the pile.
I heard that it's a good phone show.
What do you mean?
Like if you just want to like be on your phone, have it on in the background.
Yeah. I think we're really spreading thin. I don't think we need so much. And y'all know me, I don't really care about rich people like that. So I like the broke.
I don't care.
I love a broke bitch. Give me a broke bitch. Like give me, you know, Real Housewives of Winnetka. And then like, something like that. I don't know. Not that everyone there is broke, but you know, just give me something weird and kooky and I'll watch it. But like, this is just too like, everything's glitz and glammed and bedazzled and they make the Beverly Hills women look broke.
The producer or the executive, it's produced by the same production company that did Bling Empire.
Okay.
Dubai. Yeah, yeah. So it has this like overly produced sheen to it, almost like selling. It's kind of like the Selling Sunset. This is what I've heard. I didn't watch it, but I know a bit about the production of it. And so I'm like, all right, well, that's all I need to know, that I don't want to, like, I don't care. And also
the flavor for me, it just doesn't hit. Like I like Miami. They're all very wealthy, but for some reason they're just a little trashier too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it hits. Like you can't, you're like, y'all aren't getting me off of Larsa Pippen. I'm obsessed. Like she is selling feet photos on OnlyFans. Meanwhile, she's like richer than all of them. She's like got her like BBL and her like micro mesh jumpsuits and whatnot. I'm like obsessed. like what she spends her money on is just such trash. And I'm like, I'm obsessed. I can't wait for season two. Lisa Hochstein and her husband. Sorry, wait, I keep cutting you off. Sorry.
No, no, no. Circling back to the very first thing that I said about Queer as Folk. Are you interested in the new Queer as Folk?
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out and see.
Were you a fan of the show? Which original?
Trash. Loved it.
No, wait.
The
BBC
remake.
One or the Showtime remake, one?
The one that's set in Pittsburgh. It's trash. I'm obsessed.
See, when I don't I think it's actually, a porn star. Is that what you're about to say?
No, when he became a meth head. Remember he was smoking? Oh, no, that was the...
That was Ted.
That was Ted. When Ted became the meth head, I was like, this show hits. I'm obsessed. I love
it. I was obsessed with Queer as Folk is fucking formative.
Yes, yeah.
There would not be
it's
the
not
L
even
word.
A good show either.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. I could actually argue this all day. I think it is a good show.
I was walking when I first moved to New York. I won't say how long ago that was, but there were DVDs on the street. So it gives you an idea. And I was walking on the street. Someone's throwing out DVDs and they had an entire box set of Queer as Folk. Took
it
right off
the
street.
You snapped that right
up. Oh, yeah. I have it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Back in the day, that would cost like $100.
I know. And now it's probably like $2. But it's like I bought one of those really small DVD players that you could buy on Amazon. So now anytime I ever want to like watch a DVD, it's right there. I'm like obsessed.
Yeah. Can I tell you why the DVDs are important and they should not be thrown out, even though I did sort of get rid of my entire DVD collection?
Y'all are trash for throwing out DVDs. Send them to me.
And here's why. Here is why you shouldn't throw out your DVDs. Is because when all of these shows now got licensed for streaming, even on the original,
they changed
network,
the music,
they lose the music right. Music rights only stay for a decade, for 10 years, and then they lose them. So if you go right now to watch the L Word or any
The Hills, where the music was such a part of the original, you'll watch
show.
It now. Yeah.
Any
and it's garbage because you realize like what a big part of it that, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, L Word, Laguna Beach.
I remember back in the day, I was looking for, what was it? I think I was trying to find, I loved the show, The Wonder Years. And I think they eventually lost. And the whole show is based on that 60s music. And it does not work without that.
We were not thinking ahead.
We were not.
We did not
So that is why, although you could probably get them really cheap on eBay now, the DVDs. But that is just a little argument just put a little bit of worth on the DVDs for the music. Yeah. There you go.
Let's go for the B-side. Do you want to tell people really quick about what's coming up on Hot Takes Deep Dives? We didn't talk too much about it, but you have really great episode with Danny. If you guys are interested in real world New Orleans, she's been covering that a lot. And Danny was on her podcast, dispelled a lot of stuff.
Or not
dispelled, like myths about the production.
Well, he spilled a lot about the Paul fabrication. Yeah. That was all set up. So the show's called Hot Takes and Deep Dives. You can find, it's a podcast, but I record all of the interviews. So you can watch stuff on YouTube as well. If you just type in my name, Jess Rothschild, Hot Takes and Deep Dive, some version of that, the videos will pop up. And it's basically like a queer pop culture show. Mm-hmm. And so... Yeah, it's basically the stuff that you and I are super into. Yeah. I dip in and out of Housewives as needed. I interviewed Leah, who we both love. And that was really fun.
Recently.
I just interviewed Fran Drescher from The Nanny.
Oh, my God. You guys have to check out Hot Takes Deep Dives.
Who do I have coming? Oh, you know who's on the next episode? Matt Rogers from Fire Island. There you go. And he dispels he doesn't dispel. Everyone's dispelling. No, he talks a lot about how that I'm literally in the midst of editing that episode right now. And by the time this is out, the Matt Rogers interview will be out. And he talks a lot about, I wanted to know, how much of this did you actually film on Fire Island versus what is basically...
It looked like quite a lot of it actually was.
Only the scenes that were outdoors, were shot on the island. Everything, all the homes, the pavilion, the pantry, the ice palace were all recreated. They recreated the pavilion that wasn't shot in the pavilion.
Oh, wow.
The karaoke scene.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
So we talk a lot of behind the scenes.
And Andy Cohen originally had a cameo and somehow didn't make it he had a cameo.
For real?
In the pantry. That's what I had heard. Who told me that? I think Bowen had told me that at the time. Yeah. So
why would they cut that?
I have no idea.
That would be hilarious.
There were a lot of people that were supposed to be in it too, like Ty Sunderland, tons of people. So
what happened to that?
I think they cut the entire scene, but he was going to be a DJ at Sip and Twirl.
Wow.
And, but they didn't really feature Sip and Twirl.
No, they didn't.
Which, by the way,
all.
Is my favorite part of Fire Island. I love Sip and Twirl.
Yeah. Ugh. Do you happen to know? So there was Margaret Cho's character was originally written as a male character, like
an old gay man.
Yeah, like an older gay man was cast in the role, but that actor had to drop out. I was going to ask if you knew who the actor was, but it seems like
I don't, but you should definitely, when you find out, let me know.
If any of the listeners of this show have the info on which actor, Matt said that it would have to be Leslie Jordan.
Jordan, yeah, sorry.
That's so funny. Why do you pick that name? Why do you pick that name? Out of like everybody,
because he's just like fabulous little gay man.
Oh, see, in like, my that's a good choice. In my mind,
the
I was
AIDS
like,
crisis, like love him.
Yes, because I was thinking like, would it be Harvey Fierstein? Would it be like Ian McKellen? Like he said, like it's an older, it's like very famous gay actor, but maybe it was fucking Leslie Jordan.
That's just who I would want.
Yeah, I was like racking my brain. Okay, let's move on over.
Yeah, we're going to go over there, guys. Patreon.com/TheBlist. That's where you can find the bonus episodes. You can subscribe there. It's just $5 a month. Yeah. Did you tell people where to find your podcast? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Just anywhere you listen to podcasts, hot takes.
And yeah, you can YouTube it as well.
Yep, YouTube. And if you want to follow me or message me on Instagram, JessXNYC. That's it.
Cool. Okay, guys, see you on the B-side. Bye.